Welcome to the Augusta Road Congregation. Thank you so much for being here. We're happy to have you for this worship service. I got to tell you something. I never preached a sermon about parking lot stripes before. Then again, I have never seen parking lot stripes quite as pretty as the ones that are out there this morning. I'm sure you noticed as you drove in and parked that we have updated our parking lot surface, and as I was watching the boys do this on Friday, my mind kind of wandered with various sermon applications. So I thought if you would allow me to check off a box on the old bucket list, I want to preach about these lines and the importance of drawing lines in general. You know, the Bible is amazingly on point on the topic right there. It's not as foreign to the Bible as it might at first blush seem. The Bible is really, really clear that these lines, these boundaries are helpful, and understanding them better can really pay some big dividends in our relationship with the Lord. One of the first things that popped into my mind is that when these lines are blurred, when these lines are lost, they need to be reclaimed. Our parking lot before, on Friday afternoon, was really, really, really hard to spot where the lines were. And as the men were working on cleaning the lines, I saw them on an occasion or two. This didn't happen all the time, you know, but on occasion or two, I saw them double check where the lines were supposed to be, because, you know, they had been so faded. And in the religious world, the lines that God draws sometimes become faded from the hearts and minds of people. Now, I want to make one thing very, very, very clear. The Lord draws some lines that no man can erase. The Lord draws some lines that are there for good forever. They can't be moved. You may recall Jesus' very famous words, Matthew 24:35, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." And also along the lines, speaking of lines, think about John 12:48, Jesus there very famously says that he who rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, Jesus goes on to say, the same shall judge him in the last day. So nothing is going to ever change God's word. It is going to be around after our time here is spent on earth. The Bible was here before us. The Bible is going to be here after us. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. And still the Bible stands strong. On the judgment day, we rightly think about the judgment day as the end, folks. That's all right. The judgment day is kind of the final checkpoint here in our terrestrial existence. After judgment, we go on to endless eternity. So the judgment day is the last stop for us. And guess what's going to be there at that final stop for us? Oh yeah, God's word. Not just God's word, but Jesus makes this point very clear. God's unaltered word. He said, the word that I've spoken, the same is going to judge him in the last day. That's powerful. That is so powerful. So when we talk about lines being faded or covered up or going missing, they're not really going missing in God's view. But in the hearts and minds of man, these lines that God has drawn, they're fading fast. I don't claim any sort of knack for predicting the future. But it certainly seems that man is big stepping away from God's word. And in man's heart, in man's mind, God's word is very, very, very faded. Maybe like those old lines on our parking lot, blended in to what was there before it, you know? I'm thinking of a time recorded for us a long time ago in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, where the Bible lets us know that the thoughts and the imaginations of man's heart was only evil continually. The problem was not that God could not be seen or found. God could not be known. God, of course, could be seen, found, and known during those terrible times recorded in Genesis 6. But the thing is, man did not want to know God. Man did not want to live according to the rules that God has made. So in his mind, in man's mind, he was thinking only evil continually. He was doing only evil continually. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 lets us know at a very, very low point in our existence. And God punished that sin. God was right in punishing that sin. That lets us know that these people could have known what God wanted them to do. It would be really unfair for God to punish somebody when they didn't know they were doing anything wrong. Sometimes people punish people for doing things and they didn't know they did anything wrong. God here in Genesis chapter 6 is very, very clear on what's right and what's wrong, what you should do, what you should not do. And these people, they decided they were going to take that thought out of their minds, kind of get rid of it. The children of Israel did this later on in our Old Testament histories, where they live under God's rule, and they like it for a while, but every time, especially in the period of the judges, God remarks about this, every time peace was enjoyed by the people, every time good times were enjoyed by them, the lack of adversity was there, paying blessings in their lives. You know, they didn't have anything to struggle with. They didn't have anything to fight for. It was at these times they let their minds wander. And as they were thinking about how they wanted to live, where they wanted the lines to be drawn, they very quickly forgot about God. And it was only when needed Him, here's a lesson about us, it was only when they needed Him that they went back to Him. They didn't want to live the way God wanted them to live. When they had a choice to make, when they did not need God, they didn't want God cramping their style and bugging them all the time. Well, when they needed God, then they were all too happy to live within the parameters that God had set. They have this very selective memory, you know, on what they want to do for God and how they want God to be a part of their lives. Very famously, this nation, the children of Israel, after monumental victories, they would make monuments. They would make things to remember these victories by. And God instructed that because He knows our feeble minds. And He's aware that sometimes we need these things to remind us of God's power. The Proverbs are full of these mentions of these ancient landmarks. Proverbs 22:28, Proverbs chapter 22:28 talks about the shame in removing these ancient landmarks. Again, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 10, Proverbs 23:10. Talks about to not removing these landmarks, seeing these things that should remind you of the way God wants you to live, and letting them be a lesson to you. And the Bible makes it really clear that we're not supposed to follow our own steps and go our own way and do this life without God. But sometimes in the day-to-day hustle and bustle of life, that lesson kind of fades, and when it does, we need to be reclaimed. It needs to be reclaimed. I don't know what you do to stoke the love of the Lord in your life. I don't know what tip or trick I might be able to suggest to you. I know when your life feels a little out of balance. I love so much Jack's Sunday night sermon about being a spiritual person. It really was a wonderful check-in to make sure now that your life is really spiritually attuned. Sometimes we are so busy with everything life throws at us that we go through the motions of being a spiritual person. You know, we come to church service, we have our Bibles with us, we pull out the songbook when we're supposed to pull out the songbook, we do all of the things, but really, Jesus talks about going through those motions and yet our heart not really being in it. One of the things that happened to the Old Testament system with all of its ritual and ceremony is that people lost the warmth and the love and the connection that God always intended to have with his people. And so instead of drawing closer to the Lord, they just kind of drifted away. And ironically, they drifted away while still being seemingly arm's length with God. They drifted away in their hearts. They allowed some of the things that should really pop in their relationship with God just to kind of fade away. These lines aren't there anymore. And God, more often than not, if you're a student of the Old Testament, if you know just a bit about it, you know that over and over and over and over again, God is employing these people to get back into a right relationship with Him. Live life His way. Stop trying to live life their way. What is it today that could help us do that? Well, I don't know what might trigger this reaction from you, but here's what I think about. I think about it really matters. You know, take the Bible as a whole and think about the things that it tells us that are important. Things like your soul. Things like your relationship with God, things like your popularity with Him, things like the way you treat others, the way you treat yourself. These things are important, and then stack those up against what the world says is important. Take what the Bible says that you should be focusing on and making a priority, and then take what the world says we should be focusing on and making a priority. The world gives us terrible advice and oftentimes fails to appreciate the lines that God has drawn for us. These are for our own good. God sets these boundaries for us because He loves us and because He has a way that we should live. Not that's going to make us miserable. Hopefully your Christianity doesn't make you miserable. Our Christianity is intended to make us feel very fulfilled. Now, not in a sensual way. It's a spiritual life. So there are going to be some things that we rightly deny ourselves living a Christian life. But that's part of the blessings that's in store for it. When God in the Old Testament instructed His people, He knew the problems that would come from giving over to their hedonistic ways. God knew the problems. For example, God knew the headache, the heartache that Solomon would have, the stress that he would have. God knew all of those problems that he would have engaging in multiple marriages with those outside of his religion. God knew that. And one of the things that God teaches us in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, 1 Kings 11, 1, is that Solomon's priorities were all out of whack. And he loved things, he loved people that he shouldn't love. And God drew those very sharp lines for people because He knew they would ultimately be a blessing for us. God wants us to be happy in life. We talked about that during our gospel meeting, didn't we? But we also understood, we also understand that God sets terms and conditions on this happiness. He wants us to be a blessed people. But God gets to decide. He's God after all. He gets to decide what's going to be a blessing to us and our friends and family, and what's not going to be a blessing to us and our friends and family. And sometimes we lose track of all of these things. And it's important to go back to the Bible. I guess tip number one that we would encourage is to make sure we're close to the Bible. James talks to us about it in James chapter 1, chapter 2, as constantly going back and checking with the mirror of God's Word. You know, we take a look at ourselves in a mirror, we walk away, and at times we kind of lose a recollection of that image, right? You don't know what you look like after you step away from that mirror. So you constantly, some do, constantly go back and check and double check and double check. And James draws a very contemporary analogy between that and the way we should consult God's Word. The one surefire way to make sure God's lines never get faded in our mind, that we go and we read His Word regularly. David talks to us about reading God's Word, and David even goes so far in Psalm 119, famously says this, to say that he hides God's Word in his heart. Why? David, why would you hide God's Word in your heart? Here's the reason why: that I might sin against thee. For David, it mattered how he lived for his God, and he knew that God's Word was the way to make sure that relationship with God is what it ought to be. So for us, we do the same thing. By ourselves, if we just close the Bible and walk away from it, here's what a lot of people do. This is what I'm thinking about. This is what I was thinking about on Friday when I saw the guys working. A lot of people here leave, repent, confess, and baptize. They go through a 6, 8, 10, 12 lesson Bible study course that walks them through in summary fashion in the Bible, that really looks at the steps of the plan of salvation. They know it. It's sharp. We know how we're supposed to be living. We know what we're supposed to do for the Lord. We do it, and then we close the Bible and walk away from it, and 10, 15, 20, 30 years later, those lines that the Bible draws for us, they're really, really, really faded in our minds, in our hearts. Again, not in reality have these lines faded for us. We don't see them as sharply and as crisply as we used to. So when these lines are faded, they must be reclaimed. Number two, when these lines are visible, they show us the way. They let us know what we're supposed to do. I don't know about you, but I find a great deal of serenity. I guess this is a word. I find a great deal of serenity in knowing we're living the way God wants us to live. There's so much about life that we can't control. And what happens so often, all too often, is we spend our time worrying about, fretting about, being anxious about all of the things we can't control. Sometimes you do the best you can. You do what you know is right. And everything just has to work out on that. You know, you can't control somebody's reaction to your teaching them the gospel. You may at a family setting or maybe at a work setting talk to somebody about what does the Bible say about, oh, homosexuality is one topic that a lot of people seem to want to talk about. Worship, another wonderful topic you may find yourself talking to your friends and family members about. Baptism, there's another one. Instrumental music, women's role in church services. These are all things that have come up or are likely to come up. And you share what the Bible says. Hopefully you do this in an informed, loving way, being considerate of our own weaknesses and an imperfection, not excusing sin. But we're aware that we're all fallible people, and none of us is better than anyone else. But we share what the Bible says about these topics, and there's a calmness that happens. Make no mistake about it, the fallout could be really, really nasty. You talk to somebody today about what the Bible says about homosexuality, man, who knows what they'll say to you or do to you or what they will do to people around you, you know, people that you love and care about. You talk to somebody about the Bible says about instrumental music or baptism, these things, they may never talk to you again. They might go on Facebook and say all sorts of bad things about you or send messages to people about saying mean and nasty things. But we can't control any of that. And the serenity, the peace that I'm talking about is in knowing that we are doing what the Lord wants us to do. And no matter what else might happen, we're pleasing the Lord. We're living our life His way. We're following His rules. We're acknowledging Him as God. This is a line that man has not drawn. God has drawn it. We're staying at the church at Salonika on Sunday mornings. You are, of course, invited and encouraged to that Sunday morning Bible class. What we're seeing those people there at the church at Thessalonica is when they heard God's word, they instantly followed it as God's word, not as the words of men. And life was unimaginably tough for them and for Paul. We'll recall if in that class that they wanted to kill Paul. Not the Christians wanted to kill Paul, but the people more broadly in town wanted to kill Paul for causing so much trouble, quote unquote. And not only did they want to kill Paul, certainly they had some ill will towards the church. I mean, after all, they were doing things that Paul was preaching. Paul was preaching these things inspired by God's Holy Spirit. And so certainly life could not have been easy for them. But in a way, everything was so simple. Because all we have to do is follow God. Faithfully, actively follow God, and then wait for Him to come back and judge accordingly. We know from point number one that when the Lord comes back, that there's not going to be some sort of switch. The word that we follow right now that pleases God right now, the same Bible we look at right now that pleases God now, it's the same thing that's going to judge us when He comes again. There's not going to be any trick. On the day of judgment, we're not suddenly going to hear that following the Bible is not all that God wants us to do to please Him. On the day of judgment, we're going to hear then, being led by God in this life that He's given us is exactly the way He wants to live. That's going to pass that judgment scene. And even though the world gets all up in arms about that, God is happy. And we're at peace with God. It's this kind of situation that I'm describing that could allow Paul, after he preached in a town called Philippi and was rejected out of hand. They hated Paul. They hated Paul so much in the town of Philippi that they grabbed him, they threw him and Silas into jail without so much as a fair trial, without so much as asking questions. And while Paul's being mistreated that way, the Bible lets us know that he was singing hymns and praises to God. Because even though he was thrown into prison, into the middle of the prison where they made sure he couldn't wait, and even though he was mistreated in all sorts of inhumane, unfair ways, Paul was never happier. He was never happier with his relationships with God, with his salvation. He was never at more peace. It's very ironic, it's very contrary to thought that Paul is so happy and so at peace in the middle of the jail after he had been beaten, denied basic rights. The Apostle Paul was so happy because he knew he was following the lines that the Lord had drawn. It's not in man walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23 again famously once and for all lets us know if we follow what God wants us to do, everything's going to work out. In this life, things will surely be tough for us. Paul's own words remind us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But Paul also lets us know those who are faithful when the Lord comes will receive that crown of life. You can have it. I can have it. We can all get it. There's no competition among us. We just needed to make sure that we follow the way the Lord has laid out for our lives, for our families' lives. It's a blissfully simple way to live. We put the Lord first. We make sure that He is pleased first in our life. And if we do that, He's going to take care of us. Now, to be fair, God is not promising to give us everything that we want, but God is promising. Now, this is a promise from God that ought to perk our ears up a little bit. We're talking about something that the great, all-powerful God is promising He's going to do for us. He's going to take care of us in this life, and better still, He's going to take care of us for good in heaven if we make sure that we follow the lines that His Word paints. These aren't going anywhere. One day we're going to be judged by them. If that day should be today, how will you be judged? When the Lord comes back, how will your relationship be with Him? Like Jack pointed out in one of his great gospel meeting sermons, you don't have to wonder or guess or think or be unsure about that. You know what God wants out of you. It's in His Bible here. You know what your life is giving God. If you're being super honest with yourself, you know how the relationship is right now. If there's any breach in it, please, 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 make yourself right with the Lord. Let us help you if you can. We're here for that help while we stand and while we sing. Won't you come?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.